Har du et enkeltpersonforetak eller en liten bedrift? Da du sikkert lei av å høre meg snakke om hvor enkelt det å levere skattemeldingen med fiken. Så vi gir oss her. Fordi vi liker enkelt. Fiken. Superenkelt regnskap.
Nyt sommerferien på Prime.
I'm here to show you a wonderful place.
Opplev spennende turer.
Så kan dette bli veldig farlig.
Finn sommerkjærligheten.
You're like a Coachella.
Hi.
Hi.
Se på Fallout, Furia eller The Idea of You.
Okidoki.
Og gjør deg klar for en sommer full av eventyr. Bare på Prime. Krever abonnement på Prime Video.
My English out. Oh, good. My sister will understand something.
Yeah, I remember that because I did a couple of minutes.
But and you those had on were, a tux, I think. Yeah, you did. You and Stola.
Yeah, but I think that was some hacky minutes of English stand-up. I think I thought about. I think I was talking about Trump having sex with his daughter or something.
I don't know because I wasn't paying attention. I was in the. I was just happy you.
People
were there.
People were laughing though.
Yeah, I know that. I do know.
Yeah, but, and I remember your sister Paris.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of cool because it's Paris and England.
And Rome.
And Rome.
And Persia and Somalia, Cairo and Sydney.
That's kind of cool. I like that. Do you know why?
My mother was just different.
Yeah.
She was the first, she was a pioneer, I would say. She was different. If someone said, everybody run left, she's going to want to know what's to right.
Yeah.
Well, why? Why did they run on that way?
Yeah,
she named her kids Paris, Rome, and England when people weren't doing that.
Yeah, you have to pull it a little bit up to.
Oh, are we recording?
Oh, we're recording now.
Are we?
Started. Yeah.
Oh, honey, I didn't know.
You didn't. You haven't said anything wrong.
I'm just a talking.
Yeah, but she started using like names of cities before it was trending.
Mm-hmm. In the 50s, we were born in the 50s.
Yeah.
So my sister was first, Paris. My brother came second, Rome. And then I came a year after Rome, and they didn't know whether to name me. They should have followed suit. I should have been London.
Yeah.
Paris, Rome, London.
Yeah.
But my mother said she doesn't look like a London. Yeah. I don't know what I look like because there are no baby pictures of me.
Yeah.
I think they got tired by the time I came around. But my auntie came in about 2 days later and said, England.
Yeah.
She's in England. So I've been in England ever since.
But it's, I mean, we have this saying in Norway, navnet skjemmer ingen, like the name, you kind of grow into it. To me, you're England.
I didn't even know that England was a big deal. It was just my name.
Yeah.
Until the kids start teasing me at school.
Yeah.
What's your father's name? Airplane. What's your mother's name? Yeah. Germany.
my middle kid kind of has that kind of a teasing name because I'm such a fan of like hair metal bands. Mm. And I really like Tommy Lee, the drummer in Motley Crue.
Yeah. Mm.
So his name is Lee. And he doesn't, it's just his name. And I told him now that, you know, Tommy Lee is this drummer. And I kind of guess that it would be the equivalent of, you know, naming your kid Elvis. it kind of is.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, I'm glad you said that. If I had ever had a child, and in my mind, well, actually, I was pregnant once years and years ago, but had a miscarriage.
Yeah.
I just felt it was a boy.
Yeah.
And his name was going to be Mozart.
Mozart. Oh, that's
and
a cool
I was
going
to play Mozart on my stomach, you know, to let him, because Mozart is my favorite, most favorite composer. But I thought, you know what, let him understand I was going to let his hair grow until he was old enough to cut it himself or get a job and pay for the cut.
Yeah.
Because I wanted him to know immediately, it doesn't matter who you are, what you look like, somebody's going to find something to talk about you about, and you might as well get used to it when you're young.
Yeah. That's kind of the way I think with my kids, because, you know, especially now my oldest one is 18 and then there's 13 and Leah is 10. She's the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
And now kids are kind of teasing them and talking about them and finding stuff. And we have this thing where I go, okay, well, let's solve this. I can come with you to school, beat up the kid, you know, break his fingers and stuff. Yeah, and they always go, no, please,
father's giving
please dad, don't do that. And then I go, I can call the teacher. And they go, no. And then I go, or you can solve this yourself, because this is going to happen
smart
again and again. Oh, it doesn't stop when you're a, when you're an adult. People still treat you shitty when you're a grown up. So.
Oh, yeah.
So just get used to it. Mm-hmm. There's bad people out there, and the amount of energy you put into it is what, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, that's how you survive or not. If you pour all your energy into shitty people, you're going to wind up having a shitty life.
Yep.
At least that's how I feel.
Yeah, you're going to end up being the shitty toilet paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just let people shit on you. Or you can go, I'm the best. I don't care.
You know, I had big lips as a kid. Well, they're still big, but they tease me. Imagine being called Blackie when you're not even the darkest one in your neighborhood or your school. I had big lips back in the day. Well, I still do, but they called me liver lips. Liver lips. What a hurtful sound.
Kids
most
are
people,
so cruel.
Most people don't even like liver.
Yeah.
I do, but most people don't. And I'd go home and tell my mother, you know, they're talking about my name. They're calling me liver lips. You know what she told me? What a support system I had. She said, there's nothing wrong with your lips. They're beautiful.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with your skin color. And your name, I gave it to you. There's nothing wrong with it. It's beautiful. As long as they don't put their hands on you,
yeah,
you just let it be. And now they're shooting Botox in lips.
Yeah.
They're tanning.
Yeah.
Everything that I thought was wrong with me is accepted and people want today.
Yeah. Well, times are changing.
Mm.
Really slow, but they are changing. Mm.
But is it slow, though? Because I told you I was here 20 years. You said, what?
Yeah, you're right.
It's slow
you're
in right. The moment.
Yeah, and that's really how you make for, like, a permanent change, is the slow.
Yeah.
You can't really make a sharp U-turn.
No.
Because it's going to go too far left, and then it's going to swing back.
That's correct.
So you really have to go.
You're right. It's like when you're driving a car. If you try to, like you say, make that turn.
Yeah.
If you're going too fast, you won't make it.
Yeah.
But if you take your time and take that
Yeah,
I've been driving since I was 12, and that's exactly how it goes.
Yeah, I see my kids now. They're more open. Like, it's funny because my kid, he came home and he said a friend was coming over, and I said, "So who is he?" He said, "He's not a he." I said, "So who's she?" He's like, "She's not a she." And I went, "So what?" And I immediately I feel real old because I don't understand. I was like, "So how do I address this person?" And he said, just say hi. I was like, that should work.
Yeah, do we need to go into all
I don't need to have to, because I was making it all real complicated. He's just say hi, dad, it's fine. And he was totally relaxed about it.
Yeah.
He was like, and then this from my knowledge and experience, girl showed up.
Mm.
And I think now she's decided that she's a girl. Mm. But that might change. And it's fine. I think kids, because my kid is like, well, whatever, she's a friend.
Like I say, as long as somebody's not coming after you to harm you,
who
are you to judge them?
Yeah.
If you're coming after me with an intention to hurt me, I'm going to judge you, and there's going to be something.
Yeah, yeah.
But if everybody would just accept who, you know, why can't we? I'm going to sound like some Dionne Warwick song, but why can't we all just love each other and not? You don't even have to love. The word respect.
Yeah.
Just don't come after me. Everything is fine. But we don't come after people I love.
We're going to talk about this again, but I just want to start up by saying welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you.
It is in the basement.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to talk about, so when did you realize that the earth was flat?
Well, you know,
when did you start believing?
How did you know? No, but seriously, you know, I've lived long enough to now understand that anything is possible.
Yeah.
And nothing is impossible.
And also, I've kind of come to realize that I don't really care that much. If somebody thinks that it's flat, fine.
Yeah, why try to beat them up?
Yeah, just, you know, it doesn't bother me. If you think it's round, fine. I don't really think too much about that neither. I got other stuff to think about.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you believe in Allah or God or whatever, it's fine.
Yep.
Fine by me.
I like that you said that.
I'm just trying to...
But I have been dealing with the flat earth people. I've been doing some investigating because, you know, everything is, if we got really deep, if we don't even have the time to get as deep as I want to get. But if everything is actually, if we've been programmed for one thing, could it actually be that it's just the opposite? Yeah. We don't know. We're not big enough.
Yeah.
We can't stand outside the earth
yeah.
and look into the universe and be bigger than that yeah. to see exactly what's going on.
And I don't think we can even comprehend how small we are and how big everything is. Oh. I think to us it's like, because we think, I often, you know, kind of catch myself thinking that I'm you know, the center of the universe. Mm. Everybody is just around me because this is my life.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you realize like, no, this isn't true at all. No. You know, I'm just a speck of dust.
That's correct.
And it's kind of hard to, you know, keep that focus and realize that we're nothing. The time span, everything is just nothing. Mm. So life is so short, and I just want to have as much fun as I can, meet nice people, have a laugh, and then... Yeah. You know, yeah. Bye-bye, I guess. Yeah.
Life is short. No matter how long you get, when the time comes, you're going, wow, wait a minute. Yeah. Wait a minute. I haven't done that. Yeah. It's really, really short.
So but you've done... How did you end up in Buddha? I don't get that.
Well, okay. I've told this story a few times, but I'm going to go on and tell it one more time and tell it straight.
Yeah.
I was living... I moved out of California because I was just... It was just too much.
Yeah.
Whatever you name, it's there. Yeah. And it's too much of it.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, I'm getting up in age of 42 something. I thought I want to move to Seattle. I don't know. I just like Seattle. So I tried to move to Seattle, but they weren't hiring in my field, which was hemodialysis, which I'm a technician by profession. And I ended up in Washington State, staying there because a unit in Spokane was going to be opening up, and the hospital was letting me know, you know, if you hang around, we'll have a job. So I did. So I lived in Spokane, Washington for 3 years. In that time, which was right under 9/11, I was on my way to Alaska to help open up a new unit in Alaska.
Yeah.
When 9/11 hit, and I thought, I'm not going anywhere until I know what the state of the world's going to be in. I'm not moving further away from my family. So I ended up getting a Mac, the blue, funny-shaped Mac.
Yeah.
And I got online, and I said, oh, you know, I can do this. And I said, oh, look, I can get this horoscope chart made, Star Match International. So I filled it all out, only to find out it was a dating site. True story.
Okay.
So a week after I filled out all this information about myself, thinking they're going to match it up with the stars and the planets, I get an email saying, we found the perfect match for you. Click on his link and go to his profile. And I thought, I'm not clicking on no link to meet a man. Okay, click. And it went to a man that was Norwegian. And so I said, hey, this site says that we're a perfect match. But since you live in Norway and I live in the United States, we can be pen pals if you like.
Yeah.
And the next day I came back home from work and he had written a whole page. Yeah. And I thought, a man that writes, that's a plus.
Yeah.
Because men don't know, you know, sure, one sentence. Baby, how you doing? Fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not even how you doing, baby.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. I thought about you all day. Blah, 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 blah. None of that. But this was a long letter and it was beautiful. And I thought, okay. So we talked every day. It's easy to fall when you're just talking like that.
Yeah.
Because on. So... 3 months later, we decided we're going to meet.
Yeah.
So my gut, and I'm pointing at my heart, told me, sell your car, quit your job, give up your apartment, go to Norway. Never had met him. Didn't know anybody here.
Yeah.
In Norway.
So, but you just got rid of basically all your stuff
mm-hmm.
and figured I'll go to Norway. Mm-hmm. Did you did see a picture of...
Mm-hmm.
This man?
I saw a picture, but it was like a 10-year-old picture. So I guess trust, you know, you have
one
to trust.
One of his best ones,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Of course it is. It's a dating profile.
And we know he loved Mozart. He loved classical music. He's a classical pianist. I thought, so many things we have in common. But everything in me told me it was okay to go. My sister said, follow your heart. My brother said, are you crazy? Are you crazy? You don't know this man? Blah, blah, blah. But... I'm a spiritual being and I trust it. I trust it. I just trust it.
Yeah.
And I came and I had no idea that one of the planes, we were in the air for 11 hours almost. I'm like, where are we going to stop for gas? Where am I going? What have I done? And
but did you fly from Washington State?
I did.
That's even further.
Yeah.
Of a flight.
Well, I had... Well, yeah, I had to fly. Of course, I had to go from the from Spokane to the East Coast.
Yeah, you went to the East Coast to
over
Oslo.
To not Oslo, the other one. Stockholm.
Yeah, Arlanda. Yeah,
Stockholm to Gardermoen.
Yeah,
Gardermoen.
Yeah,
and then Gardermoen to Musen because he lived in Musen, even though he's Boulevarding.
Yeah. Okay, Musen. Yeah.
Yeah. So Musen was a little dry for me. There was no nightlife really. Not to get off the subject, because I can go round the corner to get across the street. We met. We clicked. We enjoyed each other's company.
Yeah.
3 months. I didn't know I could only be here 3 months. I didn't know that at the time. And had I realized that, I would not have given up my apartment, because then we both could have come back to my apartment in Washington State.
Yeah.
So we came back to America for 3 months, and we went back to Norway for 3 months, and then we went back to America for three more months, and then he went back to Buda, and I went to London, and then or something like that. Bottom line is, when I came to meet him the first time, it was June the 12th, 2003.
Yeah.
We then went to Buda to meet the family. I fell in love with Buda the first step off the plane when my foot touched the ground, it seemed.
Yeah.
The ground met my foot and said, "You're home."
Wow.
I kid you not. It's the weirdest thing. I even shared this on Beat for Beat.
Yeah.
So, and then that's how important it is to me to say that Buda felt like home from the start.
But it's something completely different than California.
Yeah. Totally.
With the midnight sun and the winters were rough and cold and dark.
It was the midnight sun time when I came.
Yeah, that's the best.
June the 10th,
yeah.
I landed in Buda the first time. And I thought, oh my goodness, it's not getting dark. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. It looked like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And then there were tulips everywhere. And that's my favorite flower. And I thought, this has to be where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
So I'm still here 20 years later.
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere.
I have to tell you, I've been to California once, and I felt like this is where I'm supposed to be.
My condolences.
No, but I loved it.
No, I'm just joking.
No, I went to San Jose,
mm-hmm.
and I felt immediately like this is where I'm supposed to be. Because there were palm trees and beaches and sun and happy people. And, and people will actually talk to you on the street.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they don't do that.
That's probably where, you know, I grew up in this. And so when I say, "Hey, how you doing?" to a stranger, somebody's like, "Do you know that person?" "No, I don't." What is the harm?
Yeah.
In saying hello?
Yeah.
Or that's a nice shirt you're wearing today. Yeah.
But people don't say that. Not in Norway. We're closed off. The exception is if you're for some reason walking in the mountains and meet a stranger, you would talk to him like his family.
Yeah.
But if you walk down the street and say hi to somebody, they're going to look at you like, are you a rapist or a killer or what's wrong with you?
Even if you've been at a party with them.
Yeah.
And you met at a party on a Saturday and then Monday comes and you're walking down the street and they won't even acknowledge.
Yeah, they won't. They won't.
But you know what? I love where I live and it's hard for me to talk negative in any kind of negativity. But in everything there is negative. Even a battery needs a negative and a positive charge to function. Of course, Buddha has its downfalls.
Yeah.
But the question is, like I tell some people, do you know what real love is? Love is when you can tolerate somebody who can tolerate you.
Oh,
it got nothing to do with the love part and the kissy-kissy. Oh.
Yeah, that's
if
true.
If you can tolerate someone that can tolerate you.
Yeah.
In all ways, that's what keeps people together for 60 years.
I just realized my wife's crazy just doesn't seem crazy to me. It's fine.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the difference between her
and... You can tolerate her crazy.
Yeah, like it's fine by me and she tolerates me.
Because
everybody's crazy at the end of the day.
We all have our faults.
Nobody's perfect, so... No. But do you ever get homesick?
When I'm away from Buddha?
Yeah.
No, I my sister and I are very close. We're the only two left out of the mother-father combination that we had. You know, my mother, our mother, our father.
So your dad has...
dad had a family before he met my mom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so now Rome has passed away, and it's just Paris and I, and Paris's children, and Rome's son. in our immediate family.
Yeah.
So my sister says, yep, it's just us sitting waiting to go. It's a waiting game now.
Yeah.
It's more than that, but we're very, very close. And I do miss her sometimes. But we talk on FaceTime, our messenger every
my
day.
My dad also did that. But we were the first family. Then he had two more families.
Okay.
So he has, we have a lot of like brothers and sisters and stuff that we, you know, we don't talk to them too much.
It's not like you said we got a lot of black brothers and sisters, but you didn't say that.
No,
that's,
no.
That's what this 67-year-old ears heard.
No, no. I think the last ones are half Filipinos.
Okay.
He went to the Philippines and met his wife.
My interest, my baby, my pregnancy was by a Filipino.
It was?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. The Filipinos are really like, in my experience, I haven't met too many of them, but they're really like Americanized, like culture-wise, and they spoke English perfectly, and they had English names, which to me was like, wow, this is...
Philip.
Yeah.
And they're very, very, they're good to sing.
They are.
They love music, they love the karaoke, and I haven't met a Filipino yet that couldn't sing.
Well... They all can sing them.
And they got great, they have a great sense of instruments, of music systems and stuff. They don't play.
But the singing part, do I remember this right? But you didn't start singing before you came to Norway?
Is this true? No, not hardly.
You've been singing for all your life,
I've been singing
right?
all my life.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I never thought I was good enough.
Oh, but you can sing.
Oh,
you do.
You're so sweet.
Yeah, no.
What's your
sweet.
Vibes?
I'm just telling you the truth. I've seen you sing.
Thank you.
And you have an amazing, I don't know, this presence on stage, which is kind of what makes artists and then singers. I mean, some people have a good voice, but they have no presence. They have
Got you. Yeah.
But you have this kind of I don't know.
I have more stage presence than I can sing.
In lack of a better word, you're a boss lady. People trust you. We will follow you. You are our leader during this concert. But it's true.
Oh, my goodness.
Because you're fun.
You're about to make me cry.
No, but it's true. You sing good and you're fun and you're entertaining people. And that's not nothing. But how come you didn't think so?
Well, first of all, I had these big old lips. And when I sit and I have a lisp, if I relax, it's hard to say sixth.
Yeah.
The S's, my tongue wants to stay out, but I've practiced. My mother had us in something called, my sister and I, in something called the United Nations Children Choir out of Long Beach, California. I represented Nigeria. And my sister represented Congo. Mm. So I've been singing since I was probably, they say I used to hum a lot.
Yeah.
I even got a nickname, Lala. That's what people know me in Buddha when I first came, is Lala, because that's my nickname given to me by one of my next door neighbors. Years ago, because he said every time I came out the house, I was like, la, 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 skipping down the street. But to answer your question, I've been entertaining, quote unquote, since I can remember.
Yeah.
The thing is, I never thought I was good enough, so it was not fun for me.
Yeah.
It was always stress. I'm going to sing at a church function. My hands would sweat.
Yeah.
I went to a Baptist church once, and these women, these young girls were getting up, and they were wailing, and I was like, I'm a Lutheran kind of girl, and I sing with a falsetto voice, you know, really calm, and they were like wailing. I was like, nobody wants to hear what I got to do. Oh, and I would be so nervous that I want to run out to church, and my auntie said, wait a minute, open up the Bible, and we opened the Bible, and she took me to a verse that said that the God did not give you the spirit of fear. So this is not from God, what you're going through.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's the negative trying to tell you you're not good enough.
Yeah.
Well, that was on my back for years. There was always somebody I thought, oh, wow, I would rather listen to them than myself. And to not run my mouth so much, which I can do, it was when I was 9 years old, my mother set my brother, my sister and I down on the sofa, and she told us, and see, you need to know this. There was a harp in our living room and a baby grand piano in our living room, and that wasn't happening in the black communities either in the 50s and 60s. This wasn't heard of.
Yeah.
She set us down. We all took something. We all took tap. We all played piano.
Yeah.
My brother took fencing on top of that. My sister took ballet on top of that. And I sang.
Yeah.
So we all had something and we all had the same. She sat us down and told us, you kids are okay with what you do. But remember, there's always somebody better does it better, and there's always someone who does it worse.
Yeah.
What you do with the measure of gift that you got is up to you.
Yeah.
A 9-year-old England heard there's somebody better.
Yeah, that's not what she said, though.
No, that's not what she said.
But I understand that you would go that way, because my head also goes. But let me ask you this. Do you still feel this way about your talent? Do you still feel that you're not good enough?
I love you for asking that. It's really making me look at myself. I know only because of the feedback that I get. And I also know that my creator gave me a gift. And if your father, let's say, gave you a gift and you took it, and he saw you take it and just put it away in a drawer.
Yeah.
And not use it at all, or not like it, or not feel like it's a good enough gift that you should play with or whatever. How is that going to make your father feel?
Yeah.
So I feel like I didn't ask to be able to carry a tune.
Yeah.
I didn't ask to be able to stand on a stage and look confident or share love and make people feel good. It's just in me. So I actually decided right before I came to Norway, I want to sing.
Yeah.
I've sang at weddings, funerals, anniversaries, and choirs, and all of, I've done all this, but I just said, you know what? I do want to sing something. I want to share something. It's not about look at me or listen to me. It's that I have something to share. Mm. And if it'll touch one person,
yeah,
I'm happy.
But do you feel like you're in the right place, that you've earned it?
Well, I think I've paid, I'm not going to say paid my dues here in Buda, but I think I've been on every scene in Buda.
Yeah, that's not, how can I say this? Do you feel like that your talent earns you the right? Because I feel like, this is just how I feel.
Okay.
When I'm in the room with other comedians, yeah, I always feel like I do not belong with these people. Because these are comedians,
yeah,
and I'm just trying to get by.
Yeah.
I always feel like I have some sort of ability to make people laugh, but mm-hmm, I have to work my ass off, and I have to work twice as hard just to even stay in, you know, in the remote area of the other big ones, because mm-hmm, they're so much more talented. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
But people tell me that you're funny, but I don't like to hear that.
Yeah.
I cringe and I feel like I don't deserve it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they call it imposter syndrome. That's the thing. Do you feel the same way about your talent? Because when I look at you, like I said a couple of minutes ago, because you're fun, you really can sing. It's touching. And then you have this energy that's like, wow, this is just... So there's something really special about you. And... But do you feel that my description matches your opinion of yourself?
I think I'm like you.
Yeah.
I kind of cringe. When people play me a compliment, I want to cry.
Yeah.
And they know me. People that really know me, they know, oh, she's a crybaby. Get the tissue ready. Don't tell her she sings good. Don't tell her that she looks good. I'm like, oh, my. But I am stepping up to the plate and really stepping up for 2024, because I've done a few things and I've been blessed to do a few things. This is the year that I want to feel better about me and, yeah, more confident and dare. I'm going to have a woman, just to say this, and I'm going to plug it too.
Yeah.
I don't know when this will air, but March the 8th, I got a Women's Day concert on, yeah, March the 8th.
Yeah.
And I decided no band. Yeah. I'd have two. I have a band. I've been playing with great musicians, professional jazz musicians. Something said, up your game this year.
Yeah.
So what did I do? I go and ask Jan Gunnar Huff.
Yeah.
Will you play for me? Just that. Just us on, yeah, stage. Just us.
Yeah.
That's a big challenge for me.
Yeah.
But it's also a dream come true, because when I first met him, I thought, oh, this man is amazing. I would love him to play for me, but oh no, I'm not good enough. And maybe I'm still not. But guess who's going to step out and try?
Yeah.
That's the only way.
Yeah, I also, I like that. When I get those kind of opportunities, I go, I have to do this, mm-hmm, with these people. Even,
yeah,
though I feel like I don't belong, this,
correct,
is, I'm going to have to do this.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, yeah, I think it's so much fun, because you, your mood reminds me, and this is not an age thing at all, but it reminds me of my grandmother.
Okay.
And she would have this, she was always kind of smiling and laughing. She was sharp. She was fun.
Mm.
And I remember I could say whatever I wanted to her. And I think it's so much fun that I can send you the most outrageous videos and stuff, yeah. and you will laugh,
yeah.
your, laugh your ass off. Yeah, it's
yeah.
funny to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, she introduced me to jazz music.
Oh.
Yeah, she would listen to all kinds of cool music.
Okay.
And I think I told her this before, but she would play Nina Simone. And that's like a childhood memory of mine. And I'm so, I really would love to see Nina Simone live, obviously. You can't do that.
No.
But I would remember that mood and that song. And I think that's why when I saw you on stage the first time, I was like, yeah, this is familiar to me.
When was that?
I think I saw you. You had a red dress.
It had to be Piccadilly.
No, I no? think it was Syd Öst many years ago.
A red dress. Yeah, it could have been Syd Öst.
Yeah. And you were singing. And I guess we just kind of said hello. Shortly thereafter, I was doing stand-up, and you actually wrote to me, and you said, even though I didn't understand a word, I was laughing
yes.
with you because your energy. And I was like, oh, this is so sweet that you could.
Was it Tapasta then?
Yeah, Tapasta. Yeah. yeah, it's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I remember when you were singing, I was like, shit, I've heard this music before. There's something about this energy and this smile. Like, I'm not religious, but I guess I'm spiritual.
Yeah, yeah, nothing wrong with that.
And the times we've been, I just feel like I connect when I talk to you. It's so fun.
Thank you. I feel the same. And when we were together earlier in the car, you said something, I can't remember what it is now because I'm old and my memory is going. But I thought, wow, that's so me. Yeah. We do have something in common. And I think that might be why we connected. And I really want to save this for when I had you on Grooving Hour as my co-host. I call it co-host because
yeah.
it's cozier. But man, I'm going to say it now because this is your podcast and I'm so happy to be here and I'm so grateful that you'd give me the time. I'm on the radio basically because you gave me the shot.
Well, yeah, well, thank you.
That's... It was Stola.
Yeah.
It was our friend.
Yeah.
It was Stola Albertson that said, came to you, I guess, and said, I think England would be good on the radio. I don't know what he ever said to you.
Yeah.
But he presented me with it at my birthday party at Pavliongen.
Yeah.
He didn't. He wasn't there. Chris Shepherd was in charge of presenting me with your own radio show called The Grooving Hour.
Yeah.
And when I found out it was you.
Yeah.
Who approved it and said, let's give her a shot.
Yeah.
And I've been wanting to say this publicly since 2013.
Yeah.
When I first went on the radio for the very first time.
Because I remember when Stola asked me, I was like, this makes all kinds of sense. Because you were fun and you were talented and we were like, we need people who want to do this. So I think it's, you know, it's your own effort that earned you the right to that radio
thank
program.
You.
Even still, it's really sweet of you to say thank you for that. It's my pleasure.
I love it. And then, you know, of course, Tommy took a break. And when Tommy took a break, I took a break because I didn't know what I was doing. It was Tommy that was really doing it. I just brought a playlist.
And he does everything so fast.
Yeah, it was so easy peasy. Every
and
morning.
And he edits and stuff. And I was like, could you show me how to do this? And he went, yes. And he click, 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 click. And I was like, could you please do that slower? Because I didn't understand.
Yeah, and at such a young age. Yeah. Was he 15, 16?
Yeah, he was really young.
Oh my goodness,
he's
so
still
good.
A kid though.
Yeah. A kid with kids.
He's not fooling anybody with that beard of his.
Yeah,
he's still a child.
I saw him not long ago with that beard. Didn't know who he was. You look familiar. But then when he stopped, I stopped.
Yeah.
And it was years later, 2 years ago, it was Jordan Pedersen that came to me and said, you missed your radio show? You want to get back on the air? And I thought, oh, stop. What are you talking about? And he said, Radio 8000. I'm like, oh, I've never heard of it. Mm. He said, well, I can make a call. Yeah. And he made a call to Berger.
Yeah.
At Radio 8000, and Berger said, yeah.
Yeah.
And so now I'm back on the air, but there's not a show I don't put together that I don't think about you, because I wouldn't be doing it if it weren't for you.
But also, I've worked in radio for many years now, and I really love it because, you know, from idea to doing it, it's just a short span. I could go during, you know, walk in the morning and just having an idea.
Yep.
And then doing it 1 hour later is so cool. Doesn't really take too much work.
No.
And I always enjoyed, even when I do the podcast by myself, I just talk to myself for an hour.
Yeah.
You just know, ramble.
Interesting, the podcast thing. Someone said, why don't you do a podcast? And I thought, You know, my thing is music. I want to play music for people. I want to pull music together that they haven't heard. Let me plug that A Grooving Hour airs on Thursdays at 8 o'clock. Is that okay if I tell them
that? Oh, no problem at all.
On Radio 8000 FM 90.9 on your radio dial. And if you're listening on the web, it's www.fm8000.no. Now you know.
Now you know. But let's talk about music. What kind of music do you like?
I love jazz and I love gospel.
Yeah.
I love Mozart. Yeah. Anything that Mozart has composed, I love. I can take it. I can take a little hard rock. It depends. This old grovel throat stuff. It kind of. I love East Call because I know them.
Yeah.
But when I hear, I don't understand what you're saying. It's sounding a little demonic. I'm not sure I should be listening. It might be putting a curse on me, but because I know them, I know it's good music and they're not evil or anything.
Yeah.
But I love all music that touches me. It doesn't matter. I've listened to some Turkish stuff. I've played some Polish music on my show because the groove was so good.
Yeah.
So if it just touches my spirit and if it's good music, I don't care what it is. I can listen to anything. Yeah.
You don't have any guilty pleasures?
Guilty pleasures. That would probably be, I couldn't be guilty about spiritual music. My guilty pleasure, I don't have one.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for, because I don't think there's such a thing as guilty pleasure. Because like you said, if the music connects with something, there's something there.
Mm-hmm. I even like opera. Depending on what it is and how it sounds.
I got to see opera live and I was like, I always figured that's not for me. Like when I grew up, like the 80s and the 90s, rap music and gangster rap was.
Yeah, gangster rap.
Yeah. This is just like, it's so weird because I guess it was 84, 85, I was 7 and somebody played NWA to me and it just melted my brain.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this is the coolest. How can they say something this straightforward, outrageous? You know, I heard Fuck the Police and went, these are my guys. I don't know why. Because it's so far. I was 7 in the north of Norway, you know what I mean? But it just connected. So.
You ain't right. Fuck the Police.
That's crazy. That's crazy, right? Being 7 and going, yeah, these are my guys.
You funny, Eyeline, you funny.
But that kind of blocked my... Then, you know, obviously, like Guns N' Roses and Mötley Crüe you know, whatever. And then I started listening to everything. I discovered blues. There's a lot of cool blues music. I discovered also jazz and rock. And I even gave opera a second thought. But then my mom lives in like this tiny island in Lofoten called Röst. I think you've been there.
I know, yeah, Röst.
Yeah, you've been
there. I've been there with the creator.
Oh, yeah. Tor, the creator. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they had the Quirini opera every year. They had this opera thing. And they had opera singers from around the world. And they went out to this mountain. And there's this kind of deep grove. They call it Hell, which is kind of cool.
Okay.
And they were standing down and singing, so the acoustics would kind of...
lifted.
Yeah. And they were singing, and I didn't understand anything because it was in Italian. But as they were singing, the weather opened up and the sun came.
Oh, my goodness.
And two eagles started fighting. It's true. Now I get goosebumps. Me and my brother just looked at each other and went, this is kind of cool. Like, if this is opera, I'm like... And this dude, he was singing, and he was this classical... like big body, skinny legs, his hair was all backwards, and he had this suit on, and he had this amazing voice that I was like, how can this man, it's so loud
and without
powerful.
Microphones half the time. They can carry their voices is incredible.
Amazing. And then I went, okay, so I guess this opera thing.
Do you think they hired the Eagles?
I would hope so.
I think it was a choreographed...
No, but that's where I get spiritual and go, there's something here. I don't know what it is, but there's something.
It's something
energy.
Bigger than us, that's for sure.
There's an energy and whichever way you want to frame it. I mean, people talk about there being a God who went, I'm going to make this and this and that. I don't know. But I think if you want to look, if you want to find the force that created us, just look into the woods. That's nature. Nature made us. And nature is a part of, you know, space and whatever. Everything is the same, I think. So there's a power there. And I think it's there's an intention to us being here. There's an energy. We're here to do something. I don't know what. And I think since I, in general, feel good, I think I'm doing it right.
Mm.
That's basically how I feel.
Well, that's good for you. And I'm right there with you. I'm parting and yeah.
So, but you said you were spiritual. In what sense?
Well, you know, I have as I've grown older. For example, I never liked the blues. And people thought I was a blues singer when I came here because I'm big, black, fat, and what do you think I'm gonna sing the blues? Nope, never liked it. But I have lived, and so I'm learning to appreciate the blues.
Yeah.
Your question again? I'm sorry, I got off like I always do.
Yeah, you said you were spiritual, but in what sense?
As I have grown and lived my own life, you know, my mother had us in church as kids every Sunday in the choir, blah blah blah. When I got as I grew older and became my own self, boss, and just living life and experiencing it, I think God is just the title. It's like president. It's like whatever a title is. God is a title.
Yeah.
So I have chosen to more say my divine creator, because I did not create myself. I could not create my eyeball as magnificent as the eyeball works.
Yeah.
We couldn't make it. Mm-hmm. We just can't. So there is a creator to things, and my creator, I have a personal relationship. I don't try to push it off on anybody. My thoughts are there is an energy that is greater than all energies that exist. That energy has my back. Therefore, there's a tattoo on my back of a cross. I had Lee Okenhaug as a co-host on Grooving Hour last week.
Yeah.
She's the only one I've let interview me on my own show.
Yeah.
I would let you, of course. But she asked me 5 questions. One of them was, if you had a tattoo, what would it be and where would it be? And I told her, I have a tattoo.
Yeah.
But no one can see it because it's not for anyone. Yeah. It's for me.
Yeah.
And it's on my back.
Yeah.
Because my creator has my back.
Yeah.
And it's just for me to remember that, even without seeing it. Of course, if I wear a dress or something that's low cut in the back, you'll see it.
Yeah.
But it's not meant for anyone but me. Yeah. So my spirituality is, I've had situations that it could be nothing but that energy that we speak of right now.
Yeah.
So I have a one-on-one personal relationship and know that that energy exists. I don't have to prove it to anybody.
Yeah.
And no one can take it away from me.
Yeah.
Not even at gunpoint.
Yeah. I also kind of feel like I don't care what people would think. I hate those arguments, but with science shows that I don't care about science. Like almost every day I go to pick up my wife from work, and when I see her, I feel something.
Oh,
every single day. No, but
beautiful.
It's true.
Yeah.
And I know that those are just hormones or whatever. I understand the scientific stuff, but still there's a feeling there. There's an energy there.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of guides me.
I like the way you said there.
Yeah.
There's an energy there.
Sometimes I kind of tend to.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens.
Do you do it when you sing Norwegian too?
Yeah, I switch up. No, but there's an energy there.
No,
and also
right.
I feel it with my kids. Especially like now I've been doing stand-up for 14 years almost. And I can feel when it's going to be a good show before the show. I can feel the audience. I know what it's going to be like. And sometimes we get this connection with the audience.
Yes.
And those are the best shows.
Yeah.
Sometimes it goes well. People laugh. They applaud. Everything's fine. But I don't get the connection. And that's so important to me, to get that connection where we're all kind of plugged into something together.
And when you... Now, I don't want to forget, because I do. You mentioned... when connecting with the people. Yeah, there's another story there. But about this energy that we're speaking about.
Yeah.
We're created so miraculously. So miraculously. People can talk about cloning all they want, but the real deal, the real artifact, you can't do it. We can't do it.
Yeah.
We're made in the creator's image, which makes us little creators, but we're in the image of, not the... Laughter. No one teaches a baby how to laugh. Yeah. We're not taught how to laugh. That is a gift created in us. I don't care how many boogie, 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 boogies you do in front of a baby.
Yeah.
You can't teach that baby to laugh at that.
And that's how...
If
he doesn't find you fun, he's not going to laugh.
No. Yeah. And no, but who told the baby to go...
Yeah.
That is built in us. That's a gift.
Yeah. And that feeling too. When
you see your wife, you get this feeling and you can't deny it. It's just there.
But laughter is really something healing.
Medicine. It is the best healer.
Yeah.
Beside music.
And also I've kept that. I'm still a fan of funny people because a lot of comedians, they go into that mode where they just go, yeah, that's funny, and kind of analyze everything.
Yeah.
I don't do that. I sit back and I watch the show and I laugh.
Mm.
And I laugh loud and I have tears coming out.
Yeah.
And it's the best time ever. And I'm glad I've kept that.
Yeah.
But you've done stand-up.
Well, not really. I did get a chance to go to Mo I Rana once, but then COVID stopped. I was ready too.
But you did at Skubota.
I did, yeah, but that was just like an opening for the woman that was coming to do it in England. It was an English night.
Yeah, but still, you had to think of something fun.
I did.
To structure it.
You're right.
And you had to tell it.
See, I can't even accept what you said. It's like, no, I didn't. But you're right. I stood up there.
And you made people laugh.
There's nothing better than
even that. Even Kevin said she was good. He said, there's something there. She could do that.
I want to, because it does feel natural.
Yeah.
If I could do it without it... You know, I used to get on a stage and be so nervous that this is what I found out. When you hit a stage, if you hit that stage and you're so nervous that your publicum sees it, then they've paid to watch you have a nervous moment.
Yeah.
They feel nervous for you.
Yeah.
That's not what they paid for.
Yeah.
So you have to hit a stage ready to share with people. Give them something that makes them feel good. They send that feel good back up to you.
Yeah.
Now you've created a circle of whatever, of joy.
Yeah.
That's, whether it's singing, comedy, acting, whatever.
It's like that expression, hörnar eller ägg, what came first, the egg or the chicken?
Yeah, the chicken.
Because whatever you're planning to do on stage, if you're playing a guitar, singing or telling a joke, if they see that you're nervous, they're not going to have fun.
No, they're going to
tense
for
up.
You. Yeah.
And then
it's a natural
feeling. Yeah, and people are thinking, no, this is going to suck.
Oh, shit.
She's nervous.
Shit. Did I say shit? Okay, I'm trying not to say bad words. I'm in the wrong room.
But it's so fun because people, they go, oh, I don't think he's prepared.
Yeah, and that's not what they pay to come and feel.
So even though if you're nervous, you got to fake it till you make it.
That's correct. And I really enjoy entertainment.
Especially if you're up here in the north of Norway, people will talk to you from the crowd. They will yell out shit.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, and that's rough. They don't do that down south. People are more polite.
Yeah.
But if you
up here,
people are going to say, it's not funny.
It's too cold to be lying.
Yeah, you're wasting my time.
Yeah. When I thought, are you actually going to try and do stand-up, England? And I thought, well, I could lead with the joke. You know, if I'm not funny and you throw tomatoes, please throw some salt up here with it because I like salt with my tomatoes. I always do like salt with my tomatoes.
That's a joke.
But
that works.
I think, but I, you know, Arden, I don't want to, I know that real successful stand-up comedians, just comedians, period. Mm. They don't have to be stand-up. You can sit down and be funny.
Yeah.
They write out their stuff. They remember it. They have to have their bit where they start here, that they come back around. Richard Pryor was the first comedian that I actually really looked at on a stage for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And I understand how you bring your stuff back around to something, this bit. But I thought, can you do that, England? I don't think so. I'm the person that can only just walk out on a stage, fill the room, see what I have to work with. How many ball guys are in here? Okay, that's a joke there.
Yeah.
And I can't, I don't know that I could write down, even remember them.
But I think, obviously, Richard Pryor is the best. He is such a good comedian.
Back in the day.
No, still. Yeah. Some of his bits still hold up. There's something really, really good there.
Okay.
He's so much fun.
Yeah.
I often go back and watch his stuff. again. And I think, because we didn't know he did stand-up, because we saw his movies.
Yeah.
Intercept, Intertört, I don't remember the English title, but whatever. Right. A lot of movies from the 80s, he was there, yeah. We all thought it was fun. And then I don't really remember how, but I saw them live from the Sunset Strip.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is even better than the movies, because he's swearing and stuff. He's saying all kinds of
what is it about
shit.
Swearing? I'm sorry to cut you off, but I don't want to forget fun. This. Why is it the comedy is more fun when you put a couple of MFs and some dollars in there? What is it? Because people don't know that I have a potty mouth.
Yeah, they don't know,
they don't
but
know.
I know.
I know you know.
And I love, it's so much fun when you say a radio shit. It's just, but if you think about it, swearing is like, it's not swear words as much as it is emotion.
This is true, because it's natural.
And it kind of adds something, like this fucking guy or this whatever, you know. It's just fun.
Funny, when you say it, it doesn't sound as bad. I don't know why.
Yeah, I swear a lot.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah, I really swear a lot. And I think it's fun. And it's also, you can say harsh things by swearing, but also fun things. Mm. You don't have to swear to say something fucked up.
No.
So it's the balance of it. If people understand your intentions, which is so fun because you're such a sweet, just lovely lady, and then you say something really bad, and I'm like, this is fun.
But you know, I grew up in this. This is our vernacular. I'm not going to say chocolate people. I don't believe in black and white. I don't like to say it. But I grew up with this language, and so for me, I can't even pretend to say it even now because it's public. And my mother, you know, there's a time for everything.
Yeah,
she taught us that. There's she said there's good to know people in low places as well as high places. She taught us these balances. But if I wasn't on the air,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, I know,
it would be a whole bunch of different kind of talk.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but
I can understand there's a time and a place, but also
but I want to be genuine. One day I will be in front of people.
You
but
should, because that's I think if you just just walk on stage and just say whatever you want, that would be so amazing. I would just die laughing. You have said some really crazy shit to me, and it's fun. I understand that it's well intended, and it's fun, and it's humor, and it's everything. And the audience also will understand that. Nobody's gonna go, oh my god, did she just say that?
Yeah, true. You know, I want to share something on your podcast with your listeners and you.
Yeah.
I've always thought that the Norwegians, especially up north here, when they cuss you out, they're throwing the words at you like fun. Like, wow, you're throwing those words. They hurt when they hit. I can't say some of the things you guys say, but I've made my own. And to give you an idea, like I might say, Davin, steak and bacon.
Yeah.
Because the bacon softens the words that came before it.
Yeah, it does.
You say fawn.
Yeah.
You say helveta and all of this. Yeah. I decided, and this is the show I'm going to say it. I'm going to be me right now in this moment.
Yeah.
You guys, you know, maybe you say, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And I want to translate that to English. I want to make it another way in Norwegian. So if I say to you, Kaden Knull. That's how I want to say it. Because the word Knull might mean intercourse for you guys.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
For me, it's a soft, cuddly kind of word. Any word that starts with K-N is cuddly to me. So it's Kaden Knull fel med dig, dog. Förstår vad jag sa?
Yeah.
And
like
it's softer.
That. Yeah, it's softer.
Now, how do you say... what the fuck? How do you say that in Norwegian? What is your term?
Ka i helvete.
Ka i helvete. And that's what in hell.
Yeah, what in hell.
But that's not what the fuck.
Yeah, I know.
You see what I'm saying? So my word for my sentence is ka den knull.
Yeah.
It's just cute.
But knulle is a really ugly word in Norway.
Yeah, but I'm not saying knulle.
But you could say that. Vil du knull? It's like...
I like knull, though.
Yeah, knull. It's kind of a funny... It's
a
funny
cute
word.
Yeah.
And if
it's
you say it with a smile, that I also say with a smile.
That's it. The word bitch. You say it with a... It's how you say it. That bitch over there, I could just beat her. Yeah. Then bitch is ugly. But if you say, that's my bitch right there. That's the coolest bitch I know.
And up here in North Norway, we say bitch. We say chatting. If you say chatting in the
bitch.
South... people get angry. I said chatting on stage, and this woman was really outraged. How could you talk about your wife like that? And I said, because she's my bitch.
That's my bitch.
They're me chatting. And I feel... Yeah, I love her.
I understand that.
So that's just the words, but the intention of it all. But you should. And I think, back to Pryor, I think he was just... I think he just felt out the audience and just started talking. Yeah. He was so genuine.
Yeah, I mean, how can you remember all the stuff? He was genuine. But let me ask you this. That was Pryor.
Yeah.
No pun intended. Today,
yeah.
Who do you enjoy, not going to say the most, but one of them, because there has to be more than one, the stand-up comedians today?
Oh, yeah.
Whether they're Norway, America, wherever.
It has to be Dave Chappelle.
Okay, Dave Chappelle is funny, that's true.
And I did watch his last special.
Yeah.
And even though I kind of... But that's the difference between Norway and America. Because I don't really... The trans thing, the trans jokes,
yeah,
I don't get them.
Okay.
To me, I understand from where he comes from that he thinks about this in a different way than I do.
Mm.
So I don't have to agree with it. I don't really find it funny.
Mm.
But I find him... hilariously funny. He's so smart and bright, and he says, you know, what needs to be said.
Mm.
And I can understand that if you are a black man in America or a woman or whatever, and you see people earning privileges in like a 5-year period that took like all black people in America 50, 60, 70, 80 years, and still aren't in place,
right.
I can understand that you go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
They just came here.
It
How come? And people don't take that into consideration. They just go, he's transphobic. Well, is he? Or is he saying, how is this happening?
Mm.
And that's a valid point. Mm. So I think when you look at people trying to be funny, saying funny stuff, you have to take into consideration. So who are they? Where do they come from? What are their experiences? And it's meant to be funny. Do not take it as hate speech, because
right.
it's not hate speech.
That's
he doesn't even try. He goes, I'm a comedian,
mm-hmm.
and that's that.
Yep.
Don't try to make him something he's not. But he is the goal. He's the reason I even started
Interesting.
Doing stand-up, because I would watch the Chappelle show, and then YouTube came along, and I was like, you could watch clips in YouTube, and then I found out he just does stand-up, and his stand-up is so much more funny than Chappelle's show, even though I loved Chappelle's show.
Yeah.
And then I discovered other comedians. And then I want to try to do stand-up.
This is your podcast, but I feel like the interviewer right now. I'm going to drop a couple of more names, and I want to see what you feel about them.
Yeah.
Mike Ebbs.
Oh, I love him.
I do, too.
Oh, I love him.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. And then the other one is, of course, Cat Williams.
Oh, Cat is okay. The one. That Michael Jackson bit of his is
everything
so,
Cat does.
And he's so
another
smart.
Oh my goodness. I just found out how smart he is.
Yeah.
On his last special.
He's working on another level.
I mean, another level.
I remember because I was in Kyrgyzstan, Afghanistan in 2002, the Enduring Freedom operation. Mm. And at the PX, they sold like comedy DVDs from Def Jam Comedy. I'd never heard about Def Jam Comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought like 8 DVDs in one box. Mm-hmm. I think it was like $2 or something. And then I discovered Cat Williams and Mike Epps and
Mike
all
Epps.
These brilliant comedians. Oh. What's the dude? I ain't afraid of you motherfuckers. With him.
Bernie Mac.
Yeah, that dude. Oh, that bit when he goes, I'm afraid of you, that's just, but that's more like poetry.
Oh my goodness.
It's so beautiful because he's got a beat to it. He dances, the DJ plays clips of music. It's just such a brilliant, and different. Also, he just stood out. I was like, this dude has something.
And talk about black. Bernie Mac was black.
Yeah.
You know, people call colors. I don't believe in colors, like I told you earlier. I think we're flavors. I'm chocolate. You're vanilla. I don't like people saying the white man or that white boy or the white people. That's so ugly. The chocolate people, the vanilla people. I think it's sweeter. But when you talk black, Bernie Mac, I mean, he was just one shade from purple.
Yeah, he was.
He was one black. Yeah, but what a gift to the planet. He made us laugh.
His, and he had that kind of, he wasn't, He was comical, but you didn't laugh at him. You laughed with him. He was in such
you
control.
You laughed because of him.
Yeah. And he just, you just felt like he's got it.
Mm-hmm.
I would follow him anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. Mm. Such a funny guy.
Funny.
I would watch him and, what was that? The Kings of Comedy.
The Kings of Comedy. You're talking about...
He had...
what's his name?
Oh, I'm so bad with names.
I mean, Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey. And then the dude with... He had his own TV show.
Golly, my mind's gone this morning. Or this day.
The fat guy.
Frederick the Entertainer.
Cedric.
Yeah.
Cedric the Entertainer. Yeah. He's fun. And the last one was...
D.L. Hewley.
Yeah, D.L. Hewley. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he had a sitcom.
I'm surprised I remember these names.
Yeah, D.L. Hewley.
Yeah,
he's also fun.
Yeah, they're funny. But Mike Ebbs and Cat Williams, hands down for me. And then Dave Chappelle. Dave is funny. He reminds me of my brother even.
Yeah.
But there's something about these other two that just take me. I'll listen to them first before I listen to any of the other American comedians. I would listen to you if I understood what you were saying. And
yeah,
that's sad that I don't understand when you're speaking Norwegian and doing your thing. I don't understand a thing.
But that's the thing about stand-up, because it's hard to... I was thinking about before you came here, because I can tell a joke in English. That's not the point. But if you want to do stand-up, there's like you need the story, like the structure of it. And then you need like all the you know, that this happened and this was fun. It ended with something really fun. And that's the bit. But then there's all the funny words you can put in there.
Yeah.
And then there's the how do you say, dobbelt betydning, innuendos. There's
the like, expression? No.
Like you say something, it can mean multiple things.
Oh, yes, I see.
Yeah, and in Norwegian, I can do that. I can pack the joke with lots of jokes and good into the story. Mm. But in English, it's kind of straightforward. I did this, then this happened, haha. So it's kind of, I need to, I think if I, and I have thought about it, just to go to the States, stay there for like 4 or 5 months and write in English.
Why not?
And I really want to do it, because I don't think I'm going to have a career in the United States or England or whatever. I just want to do it to become a better comedian.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Back in Norway.
You never know what'll happen. They might not want you to leave America.
And it would be fun, but yeah, if I go...
As long as you don't get caught up in the Illuminati. Don't let them...
It's too late
for
me.
Oh, this man
now
is really funny. Let's pull him in.
Pull him in.
He's got a crowd.
But what is that thing, the Cat Williams... Because I saw the Cat Williams thing. He was really...
This last one, you mean?
Yeah. That interview.
Mm.
And he talked about the
are you talking about the shapes?
They put black men in dresses. Oh, is that a thing?
It's hard. Yeah, it is. You know, there are things...
He has a point.
There are things that are being done, Arlen, yeah, right in our own right in front of our eyes.
Yeah.
Because, now I'm going to go someplace where somebody's going to say, what's that bitch talking about? But, you know, we have been programmed for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, thousands of years. We've been programmed.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
And so... What are we to? I don't even know. What are we talking about?
Yeah, I don't really know.
See, I'm sorry. You asked me a question. When I think about going too deep, but then I get
they
then
put
I stop
black
myself.
Men in, yes, in a dress.
Yes, and this is it goes so deep. It's ugly, and I don't know if I want to. I don't know if this is the time I want to go there. But I will say that this is real, and for maybe other men too, but he has a point about black men. If you go back to slavery, what they made the black men do, and it's I don't even have the word for it. Hideous doesn't do it. To take the black man out of the family, it was a mission, and they pit black men up against each other. To just when you take the black seed out,
yeah,
then how they're gonna you can't populate anymore with the original seed, because now, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with mixed relationships, but when you take the black seed out, then the woman is there to only procreate the world with whatever seeds are left And if the black ones are left, they're going to be it's the white man or the Indian man or the Asian man. It's another man, but not the black man. Mm. Why the black man? Because black men are strong. I'm not saying that vanilla men aren't, because there are strong vanilla men too. But there's an agenda. Mm. There's an agenda bigger for me, bigger than I can explain or maybe even understand. Mm. But there is an agenda when it comes to how many black men are in jail, how many black men are killing each other,
yeah.
how many drugs are you going to put into a society of black people to ruin them,
yeah.
And the women too, for that matter. But I'm okay with touching on it. But in to go deeper would change this whole flavor of this conversation.
Oh, I get it. But I the thing that I just thought about is I think that trying to program a population has been done forever and will be. I think China is doing it now through TikTok to the West.
Yes.
Just in what kind of videos we're watching versus what videos they are watching.
Yes.
Because in China, TikTok is something else entirely than
and
it
no
is.
Google. They don't allow Google in China, yes, either. They're, yeah. Yeah,
they're also a bit you know, it's a communist country, so it's, you know, but whatever. And I think because I saw the Cat Williams interview and I find it interesting because he's right. He's like, why do you have to put every black man in a dress? And I kind of thought I could only think about Mrs. Doubtfire, and that's just one.
That's just
and I was like, he's kind of right, though.
Compared to.
Do they have to be in a dress?
Yeah.
And also, when Dave Chappelle, he just flat out said it. He was like, I refuse to wear a dress. Yeah. And it was a problem.
Yeah. And any man, any chocolate man that refuses, look at what happens. Things are right in front of our eyes. Yeah. But we're so busy with what they've given us, the little handheld phones and the this and the that. We're so preoccupied with other things that we just don't even, maybe we don't care. Maybe people don't care. Yeah. Or they just, like I said, too preoccupied to see what's right in front of their eyes.
Yeah.
And okay, I don't want to get heavy about this, but I do want to say one thing since we're getting heavy. I commend people that are getting out there when it comes to this Gaza thing. And this is horrible state that the world is in, that these kind of things can happen. But there's been wretched things that happen on this globe since this globe.
Yeah.
I appreciate people. I might lose some friends now, but I appreciate people who are standing out and demonstrating and such.
Mm.
It ain't stopping nothing, though. It's only being camaraderie with each other, showing you. I'm showing you. We're standing out here together. I'm showing you that we're on the same thing.
Yeah.
If we want to make a dent.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a prayer person. I got people that don't believe in prayer. I do.
Mm.
I'm doing my part how I know to do it.
Yeah.
But to stand outside, and I'm not bashing anybody who does it. Something's got to be done in all types of areas, in all types of ways.
Yeah.
But if you really want to get something done, you got to sacrifice yourself, not just stand outside chanting. Yeah. You're going to have to stop spending your money.
Yeah.
You're going to have to, whatever's going to hit them in their pocket, really put a dent. The leaders that are doing this, they don't care that you're standing outside.
Yeah.
They'll bomb you even.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Yeah.
But what means something to these elite leaders?
Yeah.
That's where you attack.
Yeah.
If not spending your money, if making the economy drop and they have nothing they can do about it.
Yeah.
That's where the change comes.
And also change, this is what I believe, change comes from reprogramming. And where do you reprogram? You go to schools. So if you want to fix racism, you go into schools and you teach kids. Because we don't these days.
The teachers don't get paid enough, number one. They're scared for their lives. And then they go home and their parents teach them racism.
I know.
Yep.
And
but
that's,
racism,
that's a problem.
Arlen, but racism, that's another thing I want to talk about. Why are we using this word? We're one race.
Yeah, we are
when
one race.
When E.T. or the reptile people come on up.
Yeah.
Then we got a race problem.
Yeah.
So
human race.
This may sound trivial, but these are the things that get me. When COVID came and there's talking, we have to have physical distance, no, social distancing. We must have social distance, 6 feet. So that's not social distancing. It's physical distancing.
Yeah.
We are more social than ever because now we can't leave the house. So, of course, we're on our computers. We're chatting. That's social.
Yeah.
Media, that's social. Yeah. Let's keep the words right. Yeah. Let's keep the simple words correct. It might not seem like a big deal to anybody else, but we keep on running around talking about you're a racist. That's racism. No, it's bigotry, not racism. Racism is when ET comes.
Yeah, it's true. But if we want to fix that, I think...
I just had to be able to say that since you gave me a platform.
No, but it's true. But like the schools now, if you look at the school system, I can understand that you need to learn how to read. You need to learn some history.
Yeah.
But some of the stuff they learn today... Just get rid of it, all of it, and go instead of that, we're going to make good people. We're going to, you know, we're going to focus on teaching them how to reflect, how to be nice to each other, how to be accepting respect, and loving, love, respect.
Akkurat.
And then when they want to study, they can do math or algebra or whatever.
I love it.
But school today is made to create little taxpayers.
Yeah.
And good people.
They don't even teach you how to save money anymore.
Nah, that's true. So they want you to work and earn taxes. Earn, and that's it. Because school should be about creating good people. I mean, there's so much stuff there that I go, why can't you teach people how to be nice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How hard is that?
Because that's what you try to do as a parent. You try to teach them how to be nice. School can build on that. And you will get more well-rounded, happy people.
Mm.
And they will produce whatever they want you to produce.
Oh, God.
Tax dollars or whatever. That's just how I feel about it.
I agree with you. I agree. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So when are you coming on A Grooving Hour?
Well,
I know you're a busy man. I know you're traveling and your thing.
I'm doing better now, but it's been real hectic. Luckily, I should say, because that means I'm working.
Yeah.
And whenever you want. I mean, I can do it next week.
I will find out. I'm gonna find a date and some dates and shoot them at you.
We already did like an hour and 10 minutes.
Okay, well, how do you feel about speaking English? How does it feel? How many podcasts do you do in English?
I've only ever done one before. This friend of mine from Canada, he's a comedian. And I can speak English if we go to England or US, whatever, and I get like a couple of days.
Yeah.
And just now it feels kind of clunky and weird and whatever.
I think you sound beautiful.
You think so?
Yeah,
thank
I do.
You.
I wouldn't even know you were Norwegian.
Even though every now and then I go there.
Yeah,
there.
You need your tuxedo on for that.
I don't know where that came from, but I mean, I really appreciate you coming by.
It's been a pleasure to be here. I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you so much. And I don't really, Norwegians, but I really do love you.
You know what?
You said it to me and I was like, is this appropriate? And after all these years, I really do. You always make me happy. And when I send you jokes and stuff and you just laugh.
Oh my goodness, you have me cracking up.
And send that back to me. I play it to my kids. Listen, she's having fun. No, but it's so much fun. You have such a good energy and I appreciate it. And I do love you.
I love you too. I mean that. I really do. I don't play around. When I tell people know that you're loved, I say, I'm not joking when I end my shows with know that you're loved. People need to hear, their bodies, their spirits need to hear it, whether they believe it or not, because things get into us that we don't even know are sinking in. So even if I say, know that you're loved, if I don't know you and don't love you, trust me, somebody does.
Yeah.
Somebody does. So it's no harm in telling people that they are loved. And thank you for letting me know how you feel about me. And I feel exactly the same about you and your whole family.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. It was nice.
Thank you.